Okay, Emir Tashem, the topic that I want to learn about together is a medrash, a little bit of obscure medrash. Maybe it's been discussed a little bit over Yontif, maybe someone said a Dvar Torah about it, but I want to go into it a little bit deep and to try to take out some important fundamentals for us as Ovdei Hashem in the world we live in Jewish history, you know, to a broader perspective of a massive chunk of Jewish history that we could take out of this, and where we are, where we're coming from, and in Hashem, where we're going. And that's the following. The first makor they have in front of you is a medrash of the Psikta de Rav Kahana, one of the midrashim, not the classic, not a medrash rabbi, a medrash tanchuma, but the Psikta de Rav Kahana. The Psikta is a pretty well known classic medrash agada, and he says the following. Idea. Maybe you'll tell me if you've heard it already over Sukkot. I can assure you that probably we'll share some new ideas, even if you have. And he says like this: Amar Blazer bar Maryom, Lama Osim Anu Sukkah Achar Yom Kippurim. He asks, what is it with the proximity, the adjacent nature of Sukkot to Yom Kippur? Why do we do Sukkot after Yom Kippur? Okay, it's a fascinating question. You could take it in many directions, but this medrash takes it in the following direction. Lomar lecha, shekein at motzei bereish Hashanah yoyishiv kadosh baruch hu b'din al baya olam, because on Rosh Hashanah, and the Seiros made tshuva, and Yom Kippur, it was the Yemei HaDin, Hashem was sitting on His throne of judgment and judging us. Uviyom HaKippurim hu chosim es HaDin, and on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He signs the din, right? We said, v'chasmeinu, and sign us into the book. Hopefully the book of life, Yemir Tzashem, for all of us, for sure, not hopefully. We can be guaranteed that we're all signed in as individuals, the Jewish people, the book of life. And the judgment was passed on Yom Kippur. And the Medrash says in the bold, Shema Yatzadinam She Yisrael Legalus. Maybe it was, that the judgment of the Jewish people was a judgment of exile. They were Chayev Galus, they were Chayev to go into exile. Va'al yidei kein hen osin sukkah. And says the Medrash, says Blazar bar Maryam, for this reason we build our sukkah. V'golen mi bateyem. Why? Because, like many of us have felt, I certainly felt I have to go up, you know, two flights of stairs and then all the way around back to, you know, parking lot behind my house. It's a, you know, just to eat lunch. You know, it's a little bit of an avoda, right? I feel gullus. I feel a little gullus. I feel a little exile. I'm exiled from my house, right? Exiled from my bed. Exiled from my dining room table. Exiled from my living room. Exiled from my kitchen. Exiled from, you know, the comfort of my home. And I'm exiled. Shema yatzadinam shal Yisrael gullus val yidei kein hen osin sukkah. We build a sukkah. V'golin mibateyem, and we were exiled from our home. V'akadosh Baruch Hu male aleihem ki'ilu galu lebavel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu views that when we go into exile from our bedrooms, from our dining rooms, from our living rooms, from our second living rooms, from our studies, from our attics, from our basements, you know, v'chulei v'chulei, our third floor, second floor, fourth floor, right, our jacuzzis, whatever it is, and we go out into our sukkah, and our simple hut with the bamboo roof, and you know, and the, you know, the whatever the walls are made of. Here, the solid stone walls, or you know, some people have, you know, just a few lovewood straps, or some people have a canvas, you know, wall, whatever it may be. But we go out into our sukkah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu views that we fulfilled our gezeira, we fulfilled our decree of gullus, we fulfilled our decree of exile by going out into our sukkah. And then the Medrash brings a pasuk from Sefer Micha. Maybe for the sake of time, pasuk, maybe we'll come back to this pasuk if necessary. But the question is, actually, let's see. Well, before we ask questions, there's some you can find it in many sidurim. Actually, even there's many sukkah decorations that have this on. There's a yihi ratzon kshenichnasin lasukkah. Now it happens to be it's actually not so off the beaten track. It's very important when we go into our sukkah that, you know, to try our best at least to have a consciousness,
to have a proper mindset. Why? The Torah tells us, "Leman yedu doroseichem ki besukos shavdis bnei Yisrael," in order so that they know for all the generations that Hashem took out the Jewish people in Sukkos. Right? If we know the famous machlokas Tanaim, is it the Anani HaKavod or Sukkos Mamish? Is it the clouds of glory with the miraculous, or is it just the actual huts that the Jewish people lived in during the time in the desert? Whatever it may be, the Torah says the reason why we go into Sukkos is so that we know. So that we internalize, so that we are conscientiously are aware of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out the Jewish people in Sukkos. And therefore, some posts can even say, the Bach, famous Bach on the tour, says that we really need to be conscientiously aware of why we're sitting in the Sukkah in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah. And we can't just come out here, lunch, oh, where's lunch today? Oh, lunch is on the porch. Oh, the porch happens to have some bamboo on top. No, not just lunches on the porch with some bamboo on top. I'm eating in the sukkah. I'm being mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. I'm sitting in the sukkah. Leman yedu doraseichem, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you have to know that long, long time ago in a land far, far away, actually not so far away, only a few kilometers to the south, we traveled through the desert and we were in sukkahs. And we have to have that consciousness. We have to be aware. One of the kavanas, one of the thoughts, one of the awarenesses that we should have, according to this Medrash, is that we are fulfilling a gezeira of galus, or fulfilling a gezeira of going into exile by coming out into the sukkah. In fact, in that tefillah, you'll find it in many sidurim, and you'll find it in many sukkah decorations. It has the following nusach. I skipped this part. Uvizchus tseisimi beisi, and since when I leave my home, Hachutza, when I go outside, v'derech mitzvaysecha arutza, and I run after your mitzvos, yechashev lizos kilu hirchakti nedod. May it be thought as if I was distanced and wandering. I've been distanced and I'm wandering in the outside world by going to the sukkah, right? And it's a reference to this medrash, that if I was chayav as an individual or as a nation of Jewish people, if we're chayav galus, let it be that when I go out into the sukkah, I fulfill this decree of galus, and it doesn't chas v'shalom have to be any more painful or any more harsh in the exile experience. We know galus has actually been a majority of Jewish history. Galus has been a majority of Jewish history, and if you go all the way back to the beginning. All the way back to the beginning. Beginning of what? Well, let's go to the beginning of the Jewish people. Avraham Avinu. What was the first covenant that Hashem made with Avraham Avinu? Who remembers the name of the covenant that Hashem made with Avraham Avinu? The Bris. Beautiful. The Bris Ben Abisarim. What is the major theme, according to basically all Mefarshim, of the Bris Ben Abisarim? That the Jewish people will go into... That's right. You guessed it. Galus will go into exile, right? He splits the Tor and the Gozal and the Shor, right? He splits all the animals and he walks through these split animals. And major, all the major Mefarshim, Chazal, say that it's an expression, a manifestation of going through Gullus until he comes to the end and he wakes up at Geula and they live happily ever after. The first covenant that God made with Avraham Avinu, our Iker forefather, the beginning of it all, was the Jewish people are going out into Gullus. And if you go back to the real beginning, Breishis Bara Lekim L'Shemayim, we're going to read it in a few days. What do Chazal say? Breishis Bara Lekim L'Shemayim V'Zaretz V'Haaretz Ha'Yisa Tohu V'Avohu V'choshech al pnei tehom, those four words, tohu, chaos, vohu, another type of chaos, choshech, darkness, tehom, a vast, endless depth, four words, Chazal say, correlate to guess what? The four exiles, the four galios, right? What are the four galios? What are the four exiles that the Jewish people have been through? Let's say them out. What was the first exile we went to? Egypt is actually the pre-exile. It's always the first answer, but it's not a wrong answer because it wasn't exile, but it was a pre-exile. Why is it a pre-exile? Because exile requires first being Jewish and also being in your land, right? You can't go into exile unless you're first at home, right? Established, dwelling, secure, right? Once you're established with your dwelling, secure with your nation, so then you can go into exile. So what was that? But Mitzrayim was like the av kol galus, it said in Svarim. It's like the precursor, the preamble of galus. But what was the first time we went into galus? No, Yivanim will come in a few minutes, a few seconds. What was the first galus? Who destroyed the first base of English and exiled us? What? Babel, beautiful, the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Babel, right? Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, right? And then that exile actually transformed into the second exile. It's a little complicated, and that's what we're going to celebrate in Mir Hashem with a little bit more wine and Purim time. That's the Gullus of Parasu Madai, Persia and Media. That's a second Gullus. We didn't leave our land. We had already left, but it transformed from one to another. That's a topic in and of itself. And the third Gullus is the Gullus of Yavanim. And trick question, where did the Gullus of Yavan take place? And this is very, very important concept. We'll talk about it on Hanukkah time, because Hanukkah is all about the Gullus of Yavan. Who knows where, trick question, where did the Gullus of Yavan take place? Anybody? Yes! The exile that the Greeks, actually the Assyrian Greeks, exiled us, that exile took place in nowhere other than the land of Israel. Now get that. We were in exile.
How's that exile?
In our own home. That's the most important question. It's the most important question. It's a Hanukkah question, right? Because Hanukkah all celebrates the victory over the Greeks, right? Hanukkah is Yavan and the Hashmonaim and the Maccabim and the Beis HaMikdash, the restoration, because we know what happened. The answer is because exile is not only a physical, geographical, nationalistic reality, but exile, and Rabos, I put this deep into your hearts, exile is also a
spiritual.
Exile is also a spiritual reality. Exile is also something that one can feel in their hearts. Now, this does not apply to any of you. It has applied to me at points in my life that I could be sitting here in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh with my body, but my mind, my heart, my feelings, my eyes, my general being is in Gullus. With my body is in Eretz Yisrael, Givaldik. And many have commented, this is a hot topic, many like to say that we're still in Gullus, right? Right? Many like to say, many like to say that we're still in Gullus, right? You live here in Yerushalayim, you live in Rabbi Chemish, you live in Ramat Eshkol, you live in Tel Aviv, you live in Ranana, Kfar Saba, Petach Tikva, Ashdod, you name it. We're still in Gullus. Okay, so it's a question, right? Nationally, politically, spiritually, where are the Jewish people holding? Big topic, right? Big topic, right? Big topic. Not for now. Maybe more around Yom HaTzmaut, we'll talk about that topic. Mir Tz Hashem, we should be zochah to make it through the entire year. Sukkot, Chanukah, Purim, Pesach, Yom HaTzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim, Shavuos. Last year, unfortunately, Ask a Shana Bechaver, we didn't make it to past Purim very much, but Mir Tz Hashem will make an entire year here learning and growing here in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh.
Amen.
Givaldik. So Hanukkah is Gullus spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, even though our bodies were here in Eretz Yisrael. And obviously what was the last Gullus, the destruction of the second base of Mikdash, and the Gullus that we've been in for the last 2,000 years, and Mir Tz Hashem should end completely today, that's called the Gullus of Edom, begun by Rome. But Rome was really, as everybody I'm sure learned in history, in high school, Rome was really the beginning of Western civilization as we know it. Rome is the beginning of politics and the early beginning of democracy and a lot of great things, things that we are grateful for. But also, Rome destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, exiled the Jewish people out of Yerushalayim, destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, persecuted us for another few hundred years here in the land. And that Gullus of Rome, the longest Gullus by far, we're almost at 2,000 years of that exile, and not that Gullus. So therefore, closing up that bracket, if the Sukkah is an experience of Gullus, which really is one of the most primary Jewish experiences, let's understand Gullus. And let's understand how the Sukkah is Gullus, why the Sukkah is Gullus, what does it mean to us that the Sukkah is Gullus, what does Gullus itself mean, the significance of Gullus, why is it, and by the way, very important, it wasn't an accident. Now it's true that in the Torah, God says explicitly, I'll send you into Gullus as a result of your behaviors or misbehaviors, and if you behave nicely, and love me, and worship me, and love each other, and love the Torah, and live the Torah, I won't send you into Gullus. But, at the same time, okay, this is a This is an Eisha Torah type question. I'm not so good at Eisha Torah type questions. How could, but at the same time, Galus was predestined. Meaning it was a fact we were going to go into Galus. Did we have free choice? If we not have free choice, okay. Go to Eisha Torah for those kind of questions. No, Baruch Hashem, we're already here. But Lamaisa, it was all predestined. It was meant to be. It was guaranteed. Yavan, Bavel, Parasumadai, Edom. And if Chazal are telling us that this sukkah is this paradigm, this prototype of galus, of exile, let's understand what that means. Let's understand what it means for our avoda and sukkahs itself. And let's understand on a broader level, let's understand what the significance of galus is for the Jewish people. Now this is all going to be primarily from a little bit more of a panemius dikah perspective, from the inner world of Torah, from Chassidus, from some of the great tzaddikim, some of the dimensions of Torah that speak a little bit more to me. Everybody has a little bit more, you know, part of Torah that speaks a little more to them. This is going to be some parts of Torah that speak a little bit more to me personally that I would love to share with you today, b'siyata d'shmaya. The first question that I want to ask is, what is this yontif? As we said today in davening, we said what? V'atidin lanu Hashem Elokeinu bi'ahava, mo'adim l'simcha, chagim uzmanim l'sason, es yom, chag ha'sukkos hazeh, zman. Simchaseinu mikra kodesh zecher litzias mitzrayim. I don't understand. Golus, happy or sad?
Happy.
Both. Quite sad.
You're too Hasidic for us. Oh. Golus, happy or sad? Ah, yafeh mod. Good. You're already thinking with your hearts a little bit, which is good. That's what we're here to do. Think with our hearts. That's how we drink. You know, we drink l'chaim in order to help us think with our hearts. L'chaim. It's very important. You know, we go through the world thinking too much with our heads, and it's dangerous to think with your heads.
Why?
That's for another time. But it's dangerous to think with your heads. I think you all know the answer. Why is dangerous to think with your heads? Because our heads, we think too much. We think a lot, and when we think, we become very, very self-centered. And the world is about me. I had a zechus the other night of being on a Zoom Simchas Beis Shoeva with some of my dearest friends, and we brought in our Rebbe, which is very, very special. And he said, you know, he's not one of these people that says, you know, God did the Corona because, but he said an idea that we can learn from the Corona. And basically, I think many have said this, but it just hit me so hard. But it was Sukkis, and he connected it to Megillas Koheles that we read on Shabbos. That the world is at a point, or up to Corona, had gotten to a point that who doesn't, you know, think that, you know, the world is totally in their hands, you know? I could Google how to do brain surgery, no? What can't I do? Where can't I go? What can't I be? What can't I own or buy or create? Where the amount of power that we as humanity, especially in America and Western civilization and you know, people who are privileged what is not possible to us? Airplanes and space travel and medicine, science and finance and technology. It's unbelievable what we've accomplished. To the point that what? Who needs God when you have Google? Who needs God when you have Google? Bemis. What? Who needs God? The answer? Rabbi say, everybody needs God. Hashem is the Melech Malchei Hamlachim. He's the Borei Olam. He's anything and everything. Was, is, and will be. We are pawns. And one of the lessons that we could take away from this time that we're living in, certainly one of the most wild times of my own lifetime, this corona pandemic, the entire world has been brought to its knees. A little bit of humility. A little bit, let's realize that there's a master of the world. Do we understand why he does what he does? Often not. Does it cause us discomfort or even chas v'shalom, lo aleinu, a million times, pain and suffering? And we dive in for everybody who's experienced any pain and discomfort as a result of this or any difficulties. But Hashem runs the world. Hashem runs the world. And when we think with our brains, I was answering Yehuda's question. Our brains are incredible, but our brains are all about, you know, ani amelech, I'm the king. Our heart, our emotions, our neshama, at the forefront, is there telling us, communicating to us, screaming at us, Hashem HaMelech, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Right? A little humility, a little Kabbalah Olmoch Shemayim, a little bit acceptance of God in our lives, God in the world around us. Right? We are not the be-all and end-all. We're not even, at the end of the day, we can't even defeat this little tiny microscopic, you know, respiratory, you know, a sneeze. We can't even defeat a sneeze. Rechman Otsan, because Hashem runs the world. Because Hashem runs the world. So we're going to think a little bit with our hearts. Question number one is, how could it be that Sukkah's Gullus, right? Gullus, happy or sad? Exile, Rabbos say, right? What's Gullus? Gullus is the destruction of Yerushalayim. Gullus is being carried out in chains to Babel, to Rome. Gullus is wandering all over the world. Gullus is not having a homeland. Gullus is not having an identity. Gullus is holocausts, Rahman al-Itzlan, and pogroms, and inquisitions, and crusades. Gullus is a crazy, crazy assimilation and intermarriage rate. Right, Gullus is the world that we know today, the Jewish world. Gullus breaks the Jewish heart. Gullus is a dagger to my heart. But at the same time, Sukkot, Zman Simchaseinu, Rabbi said, is the happiest yontif of the entire year. So that's a little bit of, that's a question. How could it be that Gullus simultaneous to Zman of Simcha? Question number one. Hopefully we'll answer that question. Question number two, there's a halacha, this is not my own question, this is a question of who's learning Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in the afternoons, one of the greatest Jewish works of all time, great book. I bless everybody to finish it, and to learn it, and to live it, most importantly, L'chaim. So Rav Shlomo Gantry, the author of Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he also wrote a beautiful sefer on Chumash called Sefer Apirion, not so widely learned, but a beautiful sefer of Jewish, and a parish on Chumash. And he, in Parshas Emor, asks in the bold, "Did l'chor tzarachin?" He says, "There's a halacha of mitzdayer patur min asukah. Mitzdayer patur min asukah. What does mitzdayer patur min asukah mean? Anybody? That if you have discomfort, if it's pouring rain or snowing or freezing or incredibly hot or there's any sort of elements or anything causing a person to not have comfort in the sukkah, mitzdayer patur min asukah." If the sukkah is so unlivable, so uncomfortable, so challenging to live in, so you're putter, you don't have to live in the sukkah. Asks Rav Shlomo Gansfried in the Sefer HaPirion, he asks, listen to this question. If the sukkah is gullus, if the sukkah is an exile experience, who could finish the question? Shouldn't it be uncomfortable? Shouldn't it be? And his words are like at the end of the bold. Lechora ibcha mistaber. The opposite makes sense. Kol shemitzar yoser yoser schar yelo biyishuos v'sukkah. If I'm trying to feel gullus when I go to the sukkah, bring it on. Give me that heat. Give me that rain, snow. You know, whatever you're gonna throw at me. You know, make it. You know, make it a bed of thorns. You know, the more pain, the better. If I'm trying to have that gullus experience. Why is there this din mitzdayer patur min asukah? You don't like the question so much?
I love the question.
Like the question? Everybody got the question?
Yeah.
What? By what? Ah, okay. The answer will be at the end of this year. He has his own answer. I documented smaller text because his answer is a little complicated. I don't think he really even answers the question entirely based on my simple understanding. But that's a good question, and I want to answer it, and we'll get back to that. Now let's jump in. I'm going to hopefully present a few answers to this question of what is the inyan of gullus in the sukkah? Why? Why now, right after Yom Kippur? Why? What does it mean that I'm feeling in gullus when I come to the sukkah? So let's learn. The first thing I want to learn is the bottom source. It's a photocopy, so it's a little dark. Sorry that in your copies it came a little bit blurry, but I'll read inside. This is from the Sefer Emunas Yitacha of Rav Moshe Wolfson, a big mashpia, the mashgiach from New York. His beautiful, beautiful svarim, a contemporary tzaddik, and he has a very, very wonderful sefer. And he says the following. He says like this. I'm going to V'yesh Lomar. He says, "What's the inyan?" Rabbosai, now we're going to answer the question. We're going to have a few answers. What's the inyan of sukkah being an experience of gullus? And he says like this: V'yesh Lomar. If you want to follow along, I'm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down. or three lines up from the bottom on the right side. Vav Yud Lamed V'yesh Lomar. Ki Asuka Hitzila D'mehemenusa V'shama Shechina HaKadosha Sharek Yadua. We know that the Shem Hashem, the Gemara already tells us that the Shem Hashem is on the sukkah, is on the schach, maybe even on the walls. Right? When you go into the sukkah, you're going to the Beis Hashem, you're going into this godly presence. The sukkah zu simen li Yisrael. We'll say, put this in your hearts. First thing, let's put it in our hearts. He says like this. The sukkah is a simen. It's a sign for the Jewish people. Shekol makom shegolin shechina imahem. Again, the Medrash said, why do we have sukkahs right after Yom Kippur? To tell us that if you got a gzar din of galus, you go into the sukkah. What do we feel on Yom Kippur? Or what did we try to feel on Yom Kippur? Or what did our neshama feel on Yom Kippur, even if our body didn't necessarily let us feel on Yom Kippur? I'm speaking to myself. What do we feel on Yom Kippur? What is Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is the day of the soul. Yom Kippur is the day that we feel as close as possible to Hashem. We become like angels. No shoes, no food, no drink. We're totally transcendent from this world. We feel our soul, how close to Hashem is. And then we come back into this world and sukkahs back into Olam HaZeh. And not only that, we go even deeper. We go down into galus. The sukkah, we're going into galus. And that's a traumatic experience. It's a traumatic experience to leave being in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu and to go into galus. But Rabbi says it's not a traumatic experience if you remember the following. And what's that? Good. I'll just say it in different words. Hashem is with you. Hashem is with you. You didn't leave Hashem. You didn't leave God. You didn't leave that place of holiness. So you go, or in modern terms, you know, you have a great Shabbos and then you go back to school or you go to work. You know, you hear a great shiur and then you have to, you know, go on the train or go out into the world. My friends, is God with you one place more than any other place? No. God is with us equally every single place that we go. Every single place that you go, Hashem is with you there, right? We all know the famous Uncle Moshe song, God is. That's right. There, up, down, left, right, right. Hashem is with you. Don't think that just because you left the Yom Kippur zone, you're less with Hashem here than you were before. And don't think that just because you went into Galus, Hashem is here with you less than He was when you had a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim Mir HaKodesh. And fast forward a few months, don't think that just because you leave yeshiva, chas v'shalom, I've actually been zocha at this point in my life to never leave yeshiva. I've been yeshiva basically straight since I came Shana Aleph. And that's mainly just because I'm a big, that's mainly because I'm a big scaredy cat. I'm actually just scared. Maybe I just haven't internalized this enough. That God would be with me if I would, you know, do something else outside of yeshiva. Okay, maybe it's time that I really internalize it and try to figure out who I'm supposed to be in this world. But right now I'm here, Baruch Hashem, and I'm happy to be here. But Hashem is with you wherever you go. And it says Rav Moshe Wolfson that the sukkah is a sign for us. Shekol makom shegol and shechina imayim v'im anu yodim sheneitzei la sukkos kedei latzesi de galus. And if we know this with our whole heart, that when we go into the sukkah, we go into that galus reality, anu bonim ota ka'alacha, we build the sukkah properly like ka'alacha, kedei shetei mader l'shechina ki ha'shechina gedosha holechas imanu l'chol makom galuseinu. It's a principle in Yiddishkeit that every single place the Jewish people were exiled to, God came with us. We went to Babylonia. We went to Rome, and then we went to England, and Paris, and France, and Greece, and Spain, and North Africa, and the Fertile Crescent, and North America, and South America, and South Africa. We went all. Hashem came with us. Hashem came with us. Why? Because He loves us. Because His Shechina, because His Hashkacha Pratis, because His Divine Providence, like a father over a child, doesn't leave. It doesn't abandon us. Yes. Does the glory and the beauty of a Jewish nation in our home state, in our homeland, with the Beis HaMikdash, yeah, that's dimmed. That light went out a little bit for a few years, or for a few thousand years. And it breaks our heart. We cry about it every single year. But it doesn't mean that Hashem is with us any less. And when we go into the sukkah, we go with that consciousness. That yes, I'm leaving Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where it's revealed in this glory and this incredible ruchnias, and I go out into this hut, where it's hot and uncomfortable, but Hashem is with me there. And that's so that I internalize into my heart that no matter where I go, Hashem is with us. Answer number one, l'chaim, l'chaim.
Wait,
Okay, but let's go a little bit. Yeah.
Are you saying that it's just revealed when we have the basic?
Yes, exactly. That's the most important word. That's the most important word. You hit it on the head. The word is revealed. Because that's exactly right. But revealed is an external level with our senses, our eyes, our bodies, our smell. We can't give a korban. We can't smell the ketores. We can't. We can't see Hashem in Aliyah L'Regel, yes, but in the unrevealed, in the world of soul, in the world of spirit, in the world of neshama, in the world of ruchnis, in the world of spirituality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally with us, and that we can only tap into that with our heart and soul, with our neshama, with meditation, with thinking about it, with davening for it, with learning about it, and being invested into revealing that reality in our lives. Now that's the beauty of geula. Geula is milashon nigla. It's revelation. You in the world of geula, it's revealed. You come to the Beis Hamikdash and you see it, you smell it, you touch it, you feel it. You live in Baltimore. You live in five towns. You live in Philadelphia. You live in Toronto, Hervais, France, Paris. You know, China, right? It's not so. You don't feel it with your senses. You don't feel God. But that doesn't mean that you can't. You don't see God. Excuse me. But it doesn't mean that you can't live with Him in the deepest, most passionate, most real way, through Torah, through Tefillah, through meditation, through Gemilus Chasadim, through Avas Yisrael, through Nigunim, through Chesed, through Avodas Hashem, through Shabbos Kodesh, through Yom Tovim. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to skip answer number two because I see the time is Baruch Hashem going by, and the most important thing that I wanted to see is answer number three, and even if this is just what we end with, then Matov Manaim. Can we sing maybe one nigun before answer number three?
Of course.
One, yeah, who's going to give us a nigun? Okay, so let's learn. The following is really where this whole shir and this idea, this discussion came from. I learned the following Torah from the Pritzadik of Tzedek Kohen of Lublin. Taka, I just realized right now, the only bio that I didn't give on the source sheets. I like to give bios and source sheets, especially in the beginning of the year, not only to learn the Torah, but also to learn who taught us this Torah, right? So many of the tzaddikim, I brought you, let's say, for Micha, the Pasuk, and the Sfasemes, we skip that. But the Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, Reb Tzadok has two essays on this topic, in his essays on Sukkos, and this is what I was learning on the first day of Sukkos, and that's what I want to share with you, Bikaron. This idea, and we'll elaborate, we'll open it up a little bit, because it's one of the most important teachings of the Or Shivas Mebracious, the Tzadik Yisod Olam, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Reb Shlomo ben Eliezer, the founder of Chassidus, the revealer of the Torah of Chassidus, the Baal Shem Tov, who said one word, actually, that is became a pillar of Chassidic philosophy. And that's what I want to learn. Reb Tzadok says, when it comes to this question of Galus and the Sukkah, and he says, what's the inyan? So I'm on page 2, where it says, number 3, Galus is critically necessary to stir us towards Gula. What does that mean? So look in the first paragraph, right before the bold. Yesh lomar bezeh mipnei, in the bold. Sheba pasuk zeh ne'emar shedaika hasibas hagalus poel l'shlemus hagula. What I'm going to tell you right now is actually backwards. And Yehuda, this is another answer to why sometimes our brain needs to be put aside. If you have a journey and a destination, which one is the ikker and which one is tafel? Which one is primary and which one is secondary? Which one is the more important and less important? Right? Obviously, the journey is just a means to get to the destination, right? And all you want to do is just get to the destination, right? Especially if you're a 6-year-old child like my daughter, Baruch Hashem, and you get in the car and you're going on a ride, even if it's a 4-minute drive, you get in the car, you're already here. Are we there yet? I just want to get there already. I can't handle being in the car. I can't handle the journey. I just want to get to the destination. I just want to be there already. I don't want to be on the way. I don't want to be baderech. I want to be sham. I want to be there. Why? Because, what do you mean why? That's where it's at. Just to continue what we said before, that's where my senses, that's where I feel that whatever it is, you know, whatever you're going to a ball game, you're going to a park, you're going to a gymboree, you're going to a restaurant, you're going for all you can eat. Wherever you're going, I don't care about the car ride. I'm just doing the car ride to get to the movie, the baseball game, whatever it is. In Chassidus, an avoda, in a perspective, a philosophy of living life with Hashem, like we just discussed, it can't be that the journey is entirely a means to get to the destination. Because if one were to live with that philosophy, that the journey is just a means to get to the destination, then they're saying, God doesn't really want to be with me here where I am right now. I'm only here where I am right now because I really am supposed to be there. At the end of this process, this journey, this road. But right here, it's a b'dieved. Right here, it's a secondary. It's a, shvach. In Chassidus, the exact opposite is true. And just on a historical level, the majority of Jewish history has been in exile. Does that mean that, could we say that the majority of Jewish history has been in God's world? B'dieved, secondary, unnecessary, shvach? Or can we say that the experience of Gullus is just like we said, was predestined from the beginning of history, was predestined from the beginning of Jewish history, is not a b'dieved. It's a lechatchila for that moment. Wherever I may find myself, that is the exact place that I am meant to be. And it's the exact reality in which I may have the absolute closest connection with God. Why? Because He said so. Because He put you there. Because you are there. The will of God, and nothing less, put you where you are. The will of God put the Jewish people in Bavel, in Edom, in Paros Umadai, and in all of those cities all over the world where a Jew finds himself. And if that's true, then the closest intimate relationship that a person can have with God is possible, and is only possible, there. That says Reb Tzadok, yes, it's true. We daven every single day for Geula. yes, it's true that Jewish history is this journey, this continuum. We're working towards Geula. And we daven every day for Yerushalayim and for Mashiach and for Kibbutz Galios, the ingathering of the exiles. And we want the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. We want the destination of history. We want to get there already. It's true. Right? And if you're a Lubavitcher, you say, you know, what do you say? We want Mashiach now. We don't want to wait. Right? I don't want to get there already, just like my 6-year-old daughter. Right? And you say, I want every single day, I want it to come now. I'm waiting every single day, I want to get there already. Yes, it's true. But we also need to take a deep breath and just celebrate where we are. Because where we are, no matter where that is with Hashem. And this Reb Tzedek says, Hasivas HaGalus Poel L'Shleimas HaGeula. Galus itself, being present, is the greatest impetus, is the greatest means, the greatest way of bringing about Geula, is not by running to somewhere else, but it's about being present with Hashem in whatever reality you may find yourself. I may find myself. We may find ourselves. Kemo Shenemar, and he quotes the pasuk that the Medrash quoted, Va'inyan hu hazeh hu gamkin b'chol shana achar yom kippurim shenimchalu kol avonos Yisrael. And he says like this, U'me'achar shelo zachinu achar yom kippurim shia gu'ula b'yameinu muchach mizeh shadayin lo zachinu shia hatikun b'shleimus. At the end of Yom Kippur, when we were dancing l'shana haba b'Yerushalayim, when we were cleansed, when the world was cleansed, the Jewish people were cleansed, and we had mechilas avonos, we were forgiven, and we were atoned from all of our sins. So if we were meant to be the destination, we should have come right then. The Beis HaMikdash should have been complete right then and there. But says Reb Tzedek, since at the end of Yom Kippur, the Beis HaMikdash didn't fall down from Shemayim, the Mashiach didn't come, Tchiyas HaMeisim didn't happen. Thank you. It must be that Hashem's will is that we're still meant to be where we are. We're still meant to be in Galus. V'alzeinu osim mitzvah sukkah. So what do? We build a sukkah. Bless you. Kimo sh'om b'yiratzon, like the yiratzon he said, ki mitzvah sukkah hu latzeis midiras kevel elios chusa b'chol inyanav b'tzel k'nafav al hashgachasu yizbarach shezel ba'atzu inyan beiru shal agalios elios chusa bo yizbarach b'chol hashibur v'atzaros l'isvada sh'akol ba min hagaso yizbarach. We say, you know what? Hashem, you didn't bring the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have the Binyan Yerushalayim. We don't have Geula Shleima right now. We go out into our sukkah a few days after Yom Kippur to say, Hashem, we not only accept being with you as we are, but we realize that this is the reality that you have ordained from heaven, and we will be with you intimately and joyously in this very reality that you have desired and have willed from above. We're not at the destination yet. But does that mean that we're just going to give up hope? Does that mean that we're going to say, oh, I guess Hashem doesn't love us? Does that mean that we're going to say, oh, I guess Hashem isn't here with us? No. Lehevech. The opposite is true. Adraba. We're going to say, Hashem, okay, your will has made it that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. But we're going to go into Galus, and we're going to celebrate in Galus, because we know that you're with us there. And this is the Baal Shem Tov's famous teaching. The Baal Shem Tov's teaching is from Parashas Ekev. I gave you the psukim, I'll read them quickly. I'm going to spread you out into the world, right? Galus was, Moshe Rabbeinu told us about Galus, the end of Chumash. I'm going to spread you out, you can read it in English as well, I gave it to you. I'm going to spread you out into the four corners of the world. That's Elohim, right? That's foreign gods, idols. You're going to serve gods, the works of man, eitz ve'even, wood and stone. You're going to worship things that can't eat and can't smell and can't drink and can't hear, like money and televisions and football players and politicians and you're going to worship. You're going to worship all kinds of idols. American idol, French idol, and all the idols. You're going to worship all kinds of idols. That's a reality. I've told you about it. But says Moshe Rabbeinu, and these two words, the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov's life, were a celebration of these two words. Ubikashtem misham es Hashem Elokecha umatzasa kiddushenu b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. Those two words, ubikashtem misham, and from there you will seek. From there you will seek God, and you will find Him because you have seeked Him out with all of your heart and all of your soul. If you go to the next page, page 3, I gave you one line from the Sefer of the Baal Shem Tov. Ubikashtem misham es Hashem Elokecha umatzasa. Mamar Baal Shem Tov nishmasu b'gan miromin. Ubikashtem misham es Hashem Elokecha. Misham daika. Bold and underlined. The Baal Shem Tov celebrated that were actually one word. Misham. Misham means, what does misham mean? From there. At that place. Wherever, and you know where that place is? You know where that place is? Where's that place? Exactly. Anywhere! If you're on top of the world, or if you're at the bottom of the world. If you're holding at the highest Shabbos Kodesh, or you just did every Aveira in the Torah. If you just worshipped idols, if you just ate a cheeseburger, if you just looked at something terrible on the internet, if you just spoke Lashon Hara, it doesn't matter. Misham, from wherever that place is. If you're in exile, if you're at the bottom of some sewer somewhere, or if you're top of the world, wherever God sends you, from that place you shall seek Him, and you will find Him. Why? Because you looked for Him with all of your heart and all of your soul. Because you wanted Him. Because you brought Him in. Because when you went to Gullus, you didn't say, I'm in Gullus now. I guess I'm not with God. I guess, you know, I don't, no more Torah, no more mitzvos. It's all over. I lost it. You know, I'm a failure. No more Hashem. I'm in exile. God has left us. God destroyed His home. He destroyed His land. And He doesn't want us anymore. He doesn't care. It's all over. Eat, drink, and be merry. I might as well go to do this and do that because it's all over. Or do you say, no. What happened, happened. But this very moment that I find myself in, this very place that I find myself in, and Rabosai, when I say anywhere, I mean anywhere. Any consciousness, any location, you know, whatever. All you need to do is close your eyes and say, no! From right here, from this gullus, this exile moment. And you know what I mean when I say an exile moment? Don't use your imagination, but you know what I mean. I mean any moment in life. Those moments when we feel garbage, or behaving like garbage, or doesn't make a difference. Close your eyes. And go into the sukkah. Go into gullus. You know why? Because Hashem said, when you're in that gullus, you can find me. You just need to let me in. You just need to know that I'm there with you. And when I say there, I mean anywhere. And that's what Hashem Tov said, Misham Daika. Wherever you may find yourself is meant to be the place that we're meant to be together with Hashem. And Hashem sends us out into the sukkah every single year in order so that we put it in our heart, that we know and that we feel and that we remember that when we go into the sukkah of reality, the exile of history, the exile of our lives, that is not an experience devoid of godliness. It's meant to be and can be a moment of the greatest possible intimacy with Hashem Himself, so long as we allow it to be. So long as we bring Him into our heart and bring Him into that moment. In a famous book, a beautiful book, a beautiful work of thought by one of the great Talmidim of Rav Kook, Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he says the following line. I'll just read a few words from what he says. You can look inside. It's a book called Mayanei Yeshua. It's all about the concept of yearning for Geula. Not about bringing Geula. Not about what it's going to look like when Mashiach comes, right? Many people come. You come to Eish HaTorah, you come to Yeshiva. You know, what's Mashiach? What's going to look like? What's going to be? This book is not about what's going to be. This book is about the zone of yearning for what's going to be. That emotion of being in Gullus and really being present where you are, but yearning for Geula from that zone. And he says the following line.
Erecha shel atzipia li Yeshua hu yoter elyon mi erech shel hagilui ha Yeshua atzma. The value of yearning for the salvation, of yearning for geula, is greater than the geula itself. Yehuda, if you listen to that line with your brain, it won't compute. The computer would say, does not compute. Does not make sense. The calculator would say, error. Again, what was the line? Yearning for geula is more valuable, is deeper, is more meaningful than the geula itself. Does that compute logically? Anybody with me?
Or like, you should, in a way it makes sense, like you should focus more on living in the moment than rather than the act.
Yes!
You know, the redemption.
Yes, but he says, but and he takes it even one step further. The zone, the emotional, spiritual zone of yearning for geula is a more powerful zone than even once you get to the geula itself. Why is that? Because it's deep in my heart. Because it requires channeling something so deep, so passionate, so real, such yearning and longing and feeling that it causes me to have such overwhelming closeness with Hashem. One day, Mitzvah Hashem, maybe not such a distant future, you'll get married. And before you'll get married, you'll be engaged. And I can tell you, a personal experience, and from discussion with many young men, the emotion during engagement of that love and excitement and counting down the days, and that feeling and those butterflies and the and a certain level has a much more wonderful feeling than, you know, you're married for 10 years and, you know, you have diapers and dishes and errands and rent checks and you know, v'chule. Because that zone of being mitzapel Yeshua, that zone of being in galus and dreaming and longing and yearning and hoping and davening and saying, Hashem, I love you so much, I want you, and I'm with you here, and I yearn to be with you in the deepest way, in the Gula Shleima. That feeling is so incredibly overwhelming. And he continues, Harlapi continues and says, this is the reason why Chazal said, the Gemara says that, and it's a big thing nowadays. You look on Yeshiva World News and other places, you know, this rabbi says Mashiach is coming this year. This rabbi says Mashiach is coming in the year this. Or he'll be here in 2 weeks. Or he'll be here, you know, at 6:30 on Tuesday afternoon. And the Gemara says, and Jewish history is full of such people, who are called Mechashvei Akeitz, people who calculated the end of days and said Mashiach is coming at XYZ day and date and time and place. And the Gemara says, Tipach Rucham Shal Mechashvei Kitzim. The spirit should be ruined of those who calculate the end of days. You know why? Because they're living a Judaism that's totally predicated on the destination. When we go into the Sukkah, we're saying, I can be with Hashem, and I'm prepared to be with Hashem, and I want to be with Hashem, and I am with Hashem. Any place, any time, any day, because I know that He's with me wherever I may go. And I just need to connect in that zone. Galus, what?
I was just like the... Like, simultaneously in...
Chaim.
Simultaneously in the Galus, longing for Yeshua, but also being present. Are you supposed to be present while focusing on the future?
That's the Iker question, right? That's the Iker question. And the answer to the question is... And this is going to take some maturity to accept. Everybody ready to mature? I don't know if I'm ready, but I'm going to say it anyway. The answer to the question is,
And I think many humans struggle with this in the world that we live in. The truth of the matter is, the way that we think about longing for Geula is the way that my 6-year-old kicks and screams in the car and saying, why aren't we there yet? Why aren't we there yet? Why aren't we there yet? As opposed to being in the zone of knowing that I'm on the way. And I'm doing the absolute best that I possibly can to get there. But until I'm there, I'm here. And hopefully I'm in the car and the car is driving and, you know, hopefully I'm pressing on the gas and, you know, okay, I'll stop at the red light or stop at, you know, stop for a gas, you know, pit stop or stop at a Macolin if I need to on the way or whatever, you know, stop for a Magnum, right? If I need to, right along the way, right? But I'm on the way and I'm doing the best that I can to get there. But I'm not going to be stubborn and throw a tantrum over the fact that I'm not there yet. You hear the answer? You hear what I'm saying? Longing for Geula isn't about complaining and whining why we're not there yet. It's knowing with a whole heart that I'm doing everything that I possibly can to get to the destination, but I'm also so present in the journey towards the destination. I'm waking up today and I'm going to daven shacharis, and I'm going to, if I'm in yeshiva, I'm going to go to morning seder, and if I'm a married man, I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to make my kids their peanut butter sandwiches, and I'm going to take them to school, and I'm going to pick them up after school, and I'm going to spend time with them, and I'm going to spend time with my wife, and I'm going to be a good husband, I'm going to be a good friend, I'm going to be a good chavrusa. I'm going to do the best that I need to be doing right here, because this is my car. This is my, the way that I'm getting to the geula is here. The sukkah. The sukkah is our car towards the geula. I'm being here. I'm not skipping any steps. That's the answer to your question. You hear what I'm saying? Getting to geula doesn't mean, I'll tell you the truth. I'm still like this. But in high school, I was really like this. I would wake up most days in high school saying, I wish I could just fall asleep and sleep until graduation day. Because this is so miserable. The academic pressure, the social pressure, it's so unbearable. I just want to get through it already and get to the other side. And how many Jews, by the way, it's a madriga to be a Jew on this level. It's a madriga, it's something. But how many Jews say, I just want to get through this already to be at the end already? Now that's a madriga, right? Because obviously under that is saying, well, I don't really care. You know, whatever it is, you know, give me my cheeseburger. Or you know, give me my temple, whatever it is. So it's a madriga. But now let's go even above that, you know, to the a madriga, a level of being an Eved Hashem, of saying, I'm on the way, and I'm meant to be right here, and by being here, and doing being the best me that I can be today, the best friend, the best spouse, the best son, the best brother, the best father, the best Eved Hashem. By doing that, that's my way of bringing Geula. Now, it's a multi-dimensional consciousness.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's after being like, if they ask, like, CVs, did you, like, long the issue of me saying,
that's right, so good.
In my gullet.
I think if you're living like this, then absolutely. Meaning, don't get me wrong, right? We have in our Shmona Esrei 3 times every day. We daven for Yerushalayim. We daven for the Tzmichas HaSemach David Avdecha. We daven for Kibbutz Galios. We daven for Goel Yisrael, right? We daven for Geula, right? And we're Metzapel Yeshua. We yearn for Geula. That's right. There needs to be a moment of real conscientious meaning. You can't just like imagine a person driving in a car and say, "Ah, this car ride is so great. I'm here in the car. I love the car. I'm so happy to be in the car. And I'm driving on 60. You know, oh, and I hit 100. Oh, and I'm al chaskam v'chama if you're in your Corvette or your Lamborghini. It's so gishma." And that's opposite, right? I don't want to say anything bad. I don't want to say anything bad about any people with Corvettes and Lamborghinis, but Rabosai, when you have a Corvette and Lamborghini, that means you're so focused on the road itself. If say the destination is, you know, 7-Eleven, I'd much rather be in my Corvette or my Lamborghini than my 7-Eleven. Yonatan, we're almost finished. We love you so much.
Yeah, but the guy's coming up.
Okay, we're finishing up. We're finishing up, right? You hear what I'm saying? There needs to be a balance. You're right. There needs to be a balance. And our both say that's a sukkah. When we go into the gullus of our sukkah, yeah.
What was the point of Sukkot before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed? And now it's only to be...
That's a great question. I love that question. So the first answer is, maybe you could say that we always knew we were going to go into Gullus. It was part of Jewish history, and it had that theme, even though it wasn't revealed. Or you could say that this was something that came down later. Meaning this is an added dimension to the sukkah. Meaning it's not in Chumash. You're not going to see this idea in the Chumash. And you're not going to see it in Tanakh. It's something that Chazal revealed to us, right? And this is a fact in Torah. This is very important, right? Different levels, different dimensions of Torah are revealed throughout different stages in history. Yeah? Yeah, you hear what I'm saying? It's possible that new dimensions, new levels, new layers of Torah are only revealed at certain stages of history. That's the answer to your question. Yeah?
And after the next comes again, we're going to lose this level of...
That's a huge question, right? So if we have this idea that Tzipi El Yeshua is even greater than Yeshua itself, so that's a discussion. We'll talk about that. You know, if we want to be Ma'ayan into it, if we want to go deeper into that topic itself, we'll talk about that topic. Lamaisa, I, that dimension of Sukkah, first of all, maybe it's a topic in of itself. Will there be the mitzvah of Sukkah anymore after Yom HaMashiach? According to one Medrash, only a few Chagim will still be around. A few Modim will still be around. Okay, a lot of topic. And it's a good. Meaning, if engagement is so much deeper and so much more emotional and so much more passionate than marriage, so isn't marriage worse than engagement? So the answer is maybe yes in some ways, but also no. Meaning, because you're in that zone, and you're finally there, and also the tzipili, meaning all of that longing is now actualized. You're not getting rid of it. You don't just throw it in the garbage. You take it with you. You take those emotions, and also you have them to tap into. When you get to the destination, you also can tap into those moments of longing, to the extent that it's actually important. To remember, wow, I remember how excited I was, right? Was anybody excited before you came to yeshiva? Like, really excited, jittery? Like, what's going to be when I get to, like, I'm so, like, I've been looking forward to yeshiva, like, anybody? No? And then you get here and like, okay, you know, you wake up, learn, eat, sleep. Oh, but I was so excited to come to yeshiva, it was going to be the best year of my life, right? And so sometimes it's important to look back a little bit and tap into those emotions. What was I looking forward to? What was I so excited about? And to arouse it again. So I arouse it again so that when I wake up tomorrow morning, I have that same geschmack that I was expecting to have. Anyway, that's the sukkah. When we get into the sukkah, we're going into gullus. And that, just to answer our very first question, we'll finish. That's why they can be simultaneous. You can have simcha and gullus at the same time. Because gullus, yes, it's a b'dievid reality. But a b'dievid reality is the l'chatchila. Hashem is with you there in that b'dievid reality, and you can celebrate it. And we dafka go into the gullus of our sukkah, but it's a yontif. Because I know that I'm on my way towards geula, and it's the greatest excitement and passionate availability, a way in which I'm able to bring about the ultimate geula shleima. It should be in there, Hashem. But until it comes, we should be zocha to remember that we're in the sukkah, and in the sukkah there's so much simcha, there's so much to celebrate, and there's so much godliness for us to be able to connect to. L'chaim, l'chaim.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.